It's been very troubling to see the reactions by some about the assassination of Charlie Kirk over the past few days. What's troubling is that most of these people claim to be Christians, yet they're either celebrating Kirk's senseless death, dismissing it as something he brought upon himself, or using it as a literal war cry for retribution. What did Charlie Kirk do in his short life that was so bad? He was attracted to a platform of beliefs as a very young man. He had success with a couple of books, which allowed him to co-found the conservative organization Turning Point USA, and he reached out to all youths nationwide, face-to-face, in an effort to discuss and debate issues. Now, you might not like what I'm about to say, but I'll back it up with the gospel. Charlie Kirk was a greater Christian than those who were being anything but sorrowful and angry over his assassination. Kirk spoke with a great passion and certainty about the issues of the day. He didn't speak just for the sake of speaking. Jesus teaches us this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Charlie Kirk didn't speak just to be liked and approved. He wanted you to challenge him with ideas. Let's once again turn to the words of Jesus, this time from Luke chapter 6, verse 26. "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Charlie Kirk wasn't one of those who would yell or resort to name-calling. He would discuss. That means speaking and listening. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." Social media had a huge potential, which has just about been lost. It was a means for people worldwide with differing ideas and beliefs to come together and learn from each other. What's happened instead? We seek confirmation instead of information. We want to be with head nodders instead of teachers. Charlie Kirk sought out those who disagreed with him for discussion and exploration of ideas and issues. That was a living example of what we read in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" God has blessed us with many great gifts. One of those gifts is intelligence, albeit to varying degrees. But that comes about by our decisions and choices. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you." The consequences for those who deny this truth are told to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Now, I have a what if for you. What if, as a Christian, all you did was proclaim and share God's word only with other already faithful Christians? Would you be fulfilling your duty as a child of God? Instead, follow the word that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching." Now, if you're concerned about what to do if you are challenged, your instructions are found in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Then you also have no reason to fear or doubt, no matter if you're received or rebuked, because I believe you have the best backup ever possible, as Jesus promises in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination, one of the most common comments I've heard was, America is better than this. And this certainly holds true for the previous acts of political violence perpetrated by people from both sides, that America is better than this. I leave you today with this question. Are we?